Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAG for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR 855am. My name is Shane, I'm here with Fiona. How are you doing today, Fiona?
I'm good, Shane, how are you?
Well, you're keeping me up late, but other than that, it's good. It's radiothon time. We are charging towards our target, but we still have some space for anyone who'd like to make a donation to fill.
We're almost there. We're sitting at about, I think, 80%, something like that. So a couple more $100 and we'll be at our target, which will be so amazing. So big.
We can really lord it over all the other shows that haven't made it.
We can also say a massive thanks to everybody that's already donated because,
yeah,
thank you. We really appreciate it. We've had a bunch of people donate already, both online and in the pledging way, which is by calling the station. So
we got some really good feedback about the sound effects on the Radiothon show. We didn't have any sound effects on this week's show, unfortunately, but don't worry, I'll be back paneling soon and you'll get all the sound effects you could hope for.
Yeah, yay. Chi-ching. Okay, so I'm going to play a little thing about how you can donate before we go into the rest of our show. So if you're interested, this is how you do it.
Make your donation during our annual Radiothon and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Donate to the 3CR Radiothon fundraiser this June.
To donate, call 0394198377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
So Shane, what have we got on today's episode?
So for today's episode, we talked to Noel Lim from Annika Legal about a report that they have just released, or not just at this time, maybe a month ago, about housing as an essential service.
Let's go straight to that. So we're joined in the studio. Oops, I'm not allowed to say that. Shane doesn't like it when I say that.
We're not, in fact, joined in the studio.
We're joined today by Noel Lim, who is from Annika Legal. How are you going today, Noel?
Hey Fiona, hey Shane, I'm going very well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So firstly, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and Annika Legal.
Yeah, so I'm the co-founder and CEO at Annika Legal. We're a community legal service providing free legal support to renters to support them to stay in a safe home and avoid, you know, getting evicted. And we provide these legal services. We also do a whole lot of advocacy for a fairer rental system. And this report that we're going to talk about today is something else that we started doing, which is looking at how can we change the system through narrative shifting. So excited to get into that one.
Yeah, no, that sounds perfect. So you've recently, actually just in April, you released a report with Better Renting and the Consumer Policy Research Centre. And the report's called Essential Homes, Why Renting is an Essential Service. So ordinarily when people think of essential services, I guess they're thinking of things like water and electricity and gas. And I guess that's what you mean by changing the narrative. Why did you think it was important to think about housing and renting in this way?
So, you know, obviously Australia is in a housing and renting crisis at the moment. And I think, you know, everyone kind of gets a sense that it's pretty tough for people to find and maintain a home. And there's a really big shift that needs to happen, but one that needs to happen which starts with us changing what we think about housing, what we believe about housing. Because, you know, we as a society do think that there are a bunch of things that are so essential we can't function without them. That's water and energy and healthcare and education. And we believe that the government has a responsibility to make sure people can actually get these things. And the thing is, we also think that housing fits this category. We think housing is essential to all of these things and essential for a functioning society, but we just don't yet treat it that way. And so this project was looking at how do we, you know, well, what does Australia actually believe about housing? And, you know, what should we, how should we actually be treating housing and renting so that it is treated like an essential service and so that everyone can have a home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to me in the report, you know, often our discussions about housing and renting are very sort of negatively focused, but I just wanted to read a bit from the start of the executive summary of the report. It says, Australia's housing landscape is changing. Renting provides a home to more people in Australia than ever before, and people are renting for longer than ever before. The great Australian dream has always been about a stable, comfortable place to call home where you can have certainty about the future. We used to assume this would be achieved by owning your home, but for a growing number of people, renting now provides the only option for having a home. The reality of long-term renting provides the opportunity for a new Great Australian Dream, where renters can set down roots, participate fully in our communities, and thrive. So yeah, I guess just in the context of changing the narrative, I thought that was a really interesting way to sort of frame the housing crisis that we're living through as not only something negative, but an opportunity to have some more positive visions of the future.
I'm really glad you picked that up because that was something that we were really, really strong on, that we need that really tangible, strong vision for what the future of housing and renting looks like because we believe that that is what is going to win hearts and minds. And ultimately, a narrative shift is about winning hearts and minds. And so we, in the report, we come to four essential pillars to make that vision possible where, you know, renters are, or everyone can thrive in a stable and affordable home. And those four pillars, we needed to actually sit down and make them tangible. And it was actually quite difficult. We needed to, you know, whenever we think about, all right, what does stable look like? We always think of, well, it means not getting evicted. It means not having these huge rent increases that that make it difficult for us to keep paying rent. It's always in the negative. Mm. And so, you know, that vision section was really thinking about, okay, what does that look like in a positive light? You know, what does stability mean when the home is truly yours? And so, we did this for each of the pillars, but like when you think about a stable home in a positive light, it's that your home is the solid, reliable thing in your life and you can count on it. That stability gives you a sense of belonging and identity. You get to know your neighbours. You can take part in your community because you know that the roots that you're putting down are going to last, right? So you can paint a guy, you can plant a garden or paint a kid a mural on your kid's wall because you know that you're there for the long haul. And I think that was the part that we saw as, you know, really painting out what that vision looks like if renting was treated like an essential service.
Mm, yeah, that's absolutely different to the way we think about renting now. And it's great to hear it articulated like that too. So you said that you were wanting to hear from, I guess, lots of people about what they thought about housing and you did a national survey. Who did you ask and what questions did you ask?
Yeah, we asked 1,000 people in Australia, and it was a nationally representative survey, and that was, and 30% of those people were renters. Also, a great proportion of those were landlords. So we got a really good idea of what Australia thinks, but also what renters think and what landlords think. And what we found was that really everyone agreed that housing was a basic need. 9 in 10 people agreed housing was a basic need, and 8 in 10 agreed that housing is an essential service and should be treated that way. One of the really big findings was that 77% of Australia believes that an entire generation of people are not going to be able to afford a home.
Mm.
And I think that gives you an idea of, you know, what Australia believes the future of housing is going to look like. And that really just leaves long-term renting as the only option for many, many people out there.
Yeah.
And that explains a lot of some of the other findings in the survey where we found that, you know, like we came up with this vision and we came up with these 11 really bold policy reforms that we thought needed to happen for that vision to be realised. And then we asked Australia, what do you think about these? And there was massive support from for all of those, a majority of support for every single one of those really bold, like 11 bold policies. But the thing that surprised us most was that there was huge support from landlords on pretty much all of those as well. And so I think the survey for me paints this picture that we believe in Australia that housing is really important, is kind of the centerpiece of that, you know, great Australian dream. But we also see that what we're doing now is not sustainable and something needs to change. And we're backing that change and saying that, okay, we need some bold policy reform. Let's do it.
And yeah, I guess if 77% of people think that they can't afford to buy a home, and renting's the only option, but renting's only ever portrayed in this negative, unstable, insecure light, then that's quite a depressing thought. But being able to think of it more positively, it's less dire then, I guess.
Yeah, that was the hope, and I think the message is getting through.
Yeah.
So I am hopeful that this positive vision is what is going to bring people even more, to make people even more supportive of some of the really important changes that we need to see.
So do you want to talk us through the 11 kind of bold reforms? And I'm assuming you're talking both state and federal government here?
Yeah, yes. So there are 11 reforms. I might just pick a few out.
Sure.
to go through. And maybe I can talk about it in relation to some of the pillars.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a really key pillar here was stability that we talked about, that I sort of spoke about the vision of what it actually would mean if your house was truly yours.
Yeah.
One of the things that came out of this was that one of the policy recommendations was that a renter should not be able to be evicted from their home for any reason other than them seriously breaching their lease. And so right now, many states have banned no-fault evictions, which is fantastic. But this policy recommendation goes a step further to say, well, even if the landlord wants to sell their property, they can't evict the renter. They can still sell it, but they just have to sell it with the renter still in there.
Yeah.
And so these are some of the reforms that the project team believe need to happen because, you know, if the renter is always at the whim of the landlord wanting to sell their home or have a relative move in, then that just means that they have no confidence that they'll be able to have their kids stay in the same school for the whole, you know, 6 years of their schooling or that they will have to completely, like, find a new set of friends and community. This was one big reform that would give renters a whole lot of stability.
And what about the other pillars? And so you've got stability. What were the other ones?
Yeah, so another one was affordability, which was by far the most important to the survey respondents. For a vast majority of both Australian respondents, but also landlords, thought that housing and renting needs to be more affordable. And that would give people the certainty to plan for their future and actually know whether they can do things like start a family or book a holiday or go back to study because they knew where their rent was going to be 1, 2, 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And the policy here, I guess, is really clear and also goes towards housing stability, and that's just rent regulation. We saw that a huge number of people wanted this in Australia. So it was 77% of people thought that rent increases should be regulated to make sure that rent prices are fair and reasonable. But 65% of landlords also wanted that. So you've got landlords supporting rent regulation. This is, for me, probably the biggest surprise of the survey. And I think that, like, we just understand that this is what's necessary to treat housing like an essential service. You know, you have guardrails around the price of energy and healthcare. That needs to be the case for something as important as housing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like landlords often are just putting up the rent because the real estate agent who they rely on is telling them that that's the appropriate and right thing to do. If there was, you know, some sort of more formal guidance about or limitations on rent increases, I think they'd be just as satisfied in many cases.
Yeah, I think that's right. The ACT have a model which makes sure that the rent doesn't go up more than 10% of CPI, and CPI plus 10% of that. And that seems to be a really sensible way to just make sure that you're not getting these huge rent increases that are that are suddenly making a place unaffordable and requiring someone to move. And so, yeah, I think that there's a few ways to do it, and getting it right is important. But we do agree that we need rent regulation in Australia, both on the renters and the general population side, as well as the landlords.
I think there was another CPRC report that came out on landlord kind of attitudes, and one of the things it found was that some of it was just peer group pressure. Like they thought it was going up because the media told them it was going up and their friends told them it was going up, so they put the rent up. It takes all of that out of it, but I can just imagine the media backlash if we proposed something like that. Just even though you've got this great data that says it's really supported, I can just imagine seeing how they responded to quite minor tweaks of the tax concessions federally recently.
I think, you know, this would play out in a unfortunately similar way.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, all the more reason for a project like this.
Yeah.
Because the media backlash would happen because of the entrenched narrative. And so by, you know, very slowly but surely changing that narrative, that could then influence what the media response would be to a change like that.
So we've got stability and affordability. What about the other two pillars?
Yeah, so we've got comfort, your home being safe and healthy from the day you move in, and just knowing that you can trust that your home's going to be warm in winter, healthy, you know, the air's healthy to breathe, your appliances are going to be energy efficient, all of that stuff that make sure that you don't need to actually spend your time checking for mold or wondering if the smoke alarms are going to work. Those things are just a given. And a couple of policy recommendations here was that landlords should not be able to advertise a rental home if the home fails to meet the minimum rental standards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, you know, that there was very strong support for that. It kind of seems like a no-brainer. And that's actually something that is already in place in Victoria.
Yeah.
But then going even further, and this is maybe one of my favourite recommendations that got so much support, landlords should not be able to increase the rent if the rental home fails to meet minimum requirements.
That would be great.
I'll tell you what, 80% of Australia supported this, including 71% of landlords.
There you go. It's because it's so fair. It seems so unfair to do the opposite.
Exactly. If you're not meeting the minimum requirements, you shouldn't be able to then increase the price of the, you know, what the service that you're providing. And so I think this one would really solve a lot of problems, and both in terms of affordability, but also just going towards making sure that the home is safe and healthy. And people have a place that they can feel comfortable in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The last pillar was accountability. And that means that your landlord, as an essential service provider, is held to a high standard, and that you don't have to just fight them to make that happen. And when you think about the standards that we hold other essential service providers, you imagine, like, you compare a water provider, and you think about, you know, the guardrails around price and quality and access, and like the kinds of fines that they can get if they suddenly don't provide access to someone's property, and then you compare that with a landlord who, you know, perhaps just inherited a property and became a landlord by accident. You know, like, imagine becoming a water provider by accident. And so we've got these, you know, both are essential services and both need to be held to a high standard for the benefit of society. And what we need to do to make that happen, to get that fair system, are some of these policy changes so that people are really confident that their rights are going to be upheld without having to battle for them. And that they don't need, like, it's not just the people with the time and the knowledge and the resources that are going to be able to enforce their rights.
Mm, yeah. And then services like ours would be out of a job, which would be nice.
Yes, right? That's the dream. It's a world where organisations like ours don't need to exist.
Purple Pinger's Instagram following would plummet.
Yeah. we can only dream, right?
Yeah.
the policy recommendations here are that... What one here was that renters should be compensated for the harm caused by landlords or agent misconduct, and that includes time spent in distress or inconvenience, not just financial loss.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. I think it was the Grattan Institute said that the the total costs, not just financial costs, the total costs of a renter being evicted and having to move house was $6,000 at least. And that's a cost that, that's a cost that really should be borne by the landlord. Like it's not the renter's choice to move. They're getting evicted. And so it seems right for the renter to be compensated for an eviction that's not really their decision.
Yeah.
But you think about all the other times that renters are required to spend time and energy, sending emails and going to VCAT to get the black mold removed from their bathroom, or fighting a really completely baseless bond claim that the landlord was just trying on to try and get a few hundred dollars out of them. That all takes that takes so much time and energy, causes so much anxiety. For some people who are perhaps caring for children, they might need to put their kids, find a babysitter to take their kids so that they can go to the tribunal and learn the law and actually enforce their rights. And so in these cases, there was a majority of support that renters should be compensated for this harm and not just the financial harm.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're listening to 3CR 855, the Raise the Roof Housing for the Age Action Group's show, and we're chatting here with Noel Lim from Annika Legal about a report on renting as an essential service. So one of the questions I wanted to ask, I noticed in the report you did a comparison of the different states and where they're at with their rental laws. And it seems that Victoria is doing pretty well. We've got a lot of reform here, and I think that's partly because of our strong rental advocacy sector. And compared to, say, WA, which is absolutely shocking according to the measures that you were looking at, people often talk about, aligning and unifying rental laws across the country, but there's a risk there that we could all go backwards in Victoria. How are we going to make sure that we bring the WA renting standards up to Victorian standards, and so we can all have a go at some things like minimum standards and some of the basic stuff that we take for granted here just don't exist in other states?
Yeah, so it is really important to bring everyone up to the standard that the leading states have. One point in defence of WA, since the release of this report, they've introduced the ban on no grounds evictions.
So they do actually have a star.
they have a star. It is really important, and I think aligning these things, especially around the absolute no-brainers like getting rid of no grounds evictions, is really important. What it takes is that national housing strategy and rental strategy coordinated across all three levels of government, and it's just something that is going to be a critical part of getting us to that vision of an Australia where everyone can thrive in a safe and comfortable and stable home.
Yeah, I think one of the problems that we have when we're advocating for national rental laws and also retirement similarly is that there's a lot of buck passing goes on. So federal government says not my problem, and state governments don't necessarily want to do what the other states are doing. So that, I think, speaks to the importance of national advocacy and all of us working together. And I see that you did have a couple of other partners in this research project, including Better Renting. How important do you think those sorts of partnerships are for getting systemic change?
Yeah, we're absolutely critical. I think Better Renting are so amazing in that they have they've built this real grassroots following of renters and are absolute experts when it comes to looking at what are the needs and the desires of the renters with lived experience. And so it's really important to have organisations that have renters' lived experience in mind, both in their organisation, on the board and in the executive team, but also working with renters in everything that they do. And I think that's that's a really key part of something that all all renter advocacy organisations need to have.
Yeah.
That real, like, to be a true voice for rent, the rental community.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. We love our older people that have experienced poor renting conditions that can speak out, because without them, I don't think it seems too real. And you get in front of a decision maker with one of those real stories, it's very powerful, combined with the data, of course.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's where the change will come from. It's from people who are living it, sharing their stories and owning it to bring about the change that needs to happen. So very excited for the things to come in this space.
Awesome. So if people want to check out the report or find out more about Annika Legal, where should they go?
So annikalegal.org.au, that's A-N-I-K-A, legal.org.au, and that'll get you to the report. But if you're in Victoria and you need legal support, we can also provide that. And so you can find that on the website. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. From there you should be able to find anything else that you need.
And we'll include a link to the website in the show notes on the 3CR website for anyone who needs them.
Thanks so much for coming in today, Noel. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you for having me. That was
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Throughout the month of June, we're asking you to support fierce, independent and community-controlled media by making a donation to our Radiothon.
We'll be taking donations online, over the phone and in the station to help keep 3CR going for another year.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au, call the station on 03 9419 8377,
or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy, during business hours.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
We're just about out of time, so we're just going to give out some contact information. If you are a Victorian renter, an older Victorian renter who wants some advice or assistance in terms of your housing, you can give us a call on 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178. You know, I learned recently that if you have a mobile, you can't always call 1300 numbers. That was news to me. So if you are trying to call on a mobile, that may not work, and you can call us on our other number, also good for getting involved in our working groups or our policy work or other sort of stuff like that, which is 96547389. That's 96547389.
And also we should say 03 in front, because some mobiles require the area code.
There you go. We're learning about mobile phones this week.
Who knew? So we're going to go out with a song, and this song, I just saw it on the 3CR drive and I was like, oh, that's pretty exciting, because this is from someone that used to live next door to me. Mm-hmm. And it's called Whiskey, and it's by Heather Fiona.
See ya.
To town, I put all the memories of us. Stole teardrops, love the ink on the page. If only I'd known, maybe you'd have said. Whiskey and tea, whenever I think of you, the most beautiful pain that I ever put myself through. I didn't say what you needed me to, thought I had nothing to lose. Till you slipped away. turnpipe